You listen to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Remember, if you gamble, use your game sense. Stay within your limits. Go to gamesense.ab.ca. Construction. Mark Spector from Rogers Sportsnet joins us. Spec, good afternoon. The Edmonton Oilers, the trend really continues for this team. Play long stretches where you play well, and then you have a glaring error and a lack of 5-on-5 offense, and you blow a lead and you lose the game.
Yeah, the 5-on-5 offense part is really that third goal, you know. When you score three, like we've said a million times, you score three, you win 60% of the time men in this league. And getting to two is awesome, but the third goal would have buried St. Louis last night, I feel like. And it's wherever it comes from, man, whether it comes from a fourth line goal, from a defenseman, a point shot, from a, you know, from a third line, from your power play, who cares? But in the Oilers' case, they got the power play goal last night. The first line got them a 5-on-5 goal last night. And the three other lines and the three defense pairings couldn't muster up a goal between them. And that goal is the one that on a lot of nights here, they're not seeming to get, are they?
Well, no. Well, you're a perimeter team in the offensive zone. I've been saying it all year long. And No. It'll just pick up. It'll just magically pick up. It doesn't magically pick up if you don't go to the net and you don't get rebounds. I'll give the Oilers credit. Both their goals last night were very pretty. The Oilers got skill. That power play goal, 8 seconds, perfection. That off the rush goal from McDavid to Nugent Hopkins to Mangiapane, great goal. No debating their skill level. It's their will level around the net. And if you don't do it, they ain't scoring. That, like, the numbers don't lie. That's the majority of goals are scored from around there. And they got too many guys. They don't go to the net. They get the puck in the offensive zone. And, they think right now, it's let's just get points, shots from the point. And it's not working. But it's really their forwards across the board. Shots are down significantly. The Oilers were the number one team in the NHL shots per 60 at 5-on-5 last year. They're 17th. Right now.
So that tells you that they've always been a selective team. So that tells me that they're not, you know, the puck's not even getting into anywhere near their shooting area if they're that far behind on shots. You know, what's getting to me, everyone has a pet peeve here, what's getting to me is that, you know, we used to watch Leon Draisaitl often does that button hook inside the blue line. You know, it comes down the wall and he hits a little button hook and he waits for everybody to catch up to him. Gretzky did that back in the day. A little bit different, but the same concept. The play catches up to him. I'm seeing every guy on the Oilers team playing that button hook now. And to me, there's a lot of guys that need to lose the button hook and take it to the net. You know, put a shoulder down, go at a defenseman, challenge him. Like, just get the puck down low. You're a third liner. Don't give me the Wayne Gretzky button hook when your name is Trent Frederick, okay? That's not your game. And they got too many button hook guys on this team right now, or guys who think they're button hook guys. And we both have the same complaint. In the end, Jay, they're not getting to the net enough for you, and they're not getting to the net enough for me, are they?
No, they're not getting that enough for anybody, to be honest. And then at some point you look like it's five starts now. And Calvin Pickard's numbers are not good.
Yeah, I didn't think he was so bad last night. Everyone says he was horrible. I didn't mind his game last night. I thought he made a bunch of pretty good saves. Let in two, he let in two. And then, frankly, if he gets any level of defense, a guy standing in front of the goalie with enough time to go backhand, forehand, shelf. I don't blame goalies on those, right? Should he have that rebound? I guess. You know, Parayko shoots a bomb through traffic.
It wasn't really a big rebound if you watch it. The puck was right there. Like, he didn't kick it out at all. Like, Evan Speck, I'm sorry, on that play, Evan Bouchard to slide away from the net and his man. Like, I'm sorry. That's inexcusable with a minute and a half to go in a game.
It's inexcusable at any time for a defenseman. My point is, back to Pickard, like, I look at a backup goalie big picture, Jason. He went out in the road and he allowed two. You know, that's good enough. That's what a backup, if my backup gives me only two against every road game he plays, I'm going to win 60, 65, 70% of those games. That's good enough. I didn't mind the goals that went in on them. I didn't think they were horrible. They weren't softies. And now everyone's blaming Pickard here. I've been reading it because, oh, Bouchard made a bad play, but Pickard shouldn't give up that rebound. Well, you know what? We're at that point now where we've watched Evan Bouchard cost his team enough goals and enough games here. Now it's the old Puljujarvi syndrome. It's everybody else's fault, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's Pickard's fault that he left the puck there. Well, goalies don't smother every puck. Like, you know, he didn't kick it out to a guy 8 feet out in the slot. The guy was on his doorstep unattended, and he grabbed it and put it in because no one was watching him. So, sorry, man, I'm not buying the bad Pickard story here. I'm buying the bad Bouchard story on that third goal.
Oh, it's not even close. I'm sorry. Anybody with good analysis is going to look. Go watch the play. There's no rebound there. Really, the puck lays right in front of him, and yeah, he's going to go cover it. But if your guy covers up his man and is not sliding out of the play, like I've got kids on my young team that's one of my biggest things is that, guys, you got to funnel to the net, and defensemen, you got to stay around the goal. You got to protect the house. It's like one of the most simple thing. Strutting, right. Schmieder, Sean Brown, every one of them will tell you your job as a defenseman is to protect the house. That's your job. And right. to make that play with a $1.29 to go, I'm tired. You can't just say he's good in the playoffs. We all know he's good in the playoffs. That's irrelevant to the play last night. It's irrelevant.
Well, in the play, which you start naming the plays, like he's really soft in the hard area. You know, JT Miller the other night, Draisaitl loses his guy, and instead of stepping into a lane, Bouchard backs up and opens the lane wide up. Like, you know, being a defense, I get it. He's an offensive defenseman. He's never going to be Jason Smith or Kevin Lowe, and no one's asking that. But there's areas of the ice that a defenseman has to defend, and that's the one. If he's tying up Pia Suter's stick yesterday, Calvin Pickard grabs that puck, and it's over. You know, it's right at his glove, and he grabs it. It's a save, and we're not even talking about it. But the fact that that area of the ice is left undefended with a minute and 30 left is... You're right. It's inexcusable. It's just, it's not an NHL level of defending. And everyone's, I hear it every day on social media, quit picking on Bouchard. Well, I'll tell you what, quit making yourself the story by giving up 2-3 goals a night.
Yeah.
And we'll stop picking on Bouchard. How about that?
Like, yeah, I'm not even picking on, analyzing one play isn't picking on it. It's analyzing the play.
Yeah. Analyzing the same play every game, though. Yeah. That's the problem, right? Yeah.
Well, I haven't seen him do that. I've seen him make some cough ups before, but that one, to me, that was just a lack of will play. Right. And that's what's frustrating. To me, though, the Oilers, like, it's a combination. Like, their offense right now, it's barely a BB gun. Yeah. Offense 5-on-5. Like, you can watch the rush plays, and a lot of them are pretty much the same. You come in on the rush, you talk about that button hook. That's like one of their set plays. Okay, we button hook. But the other teams know it now. It's easy. They'll say, oh, give you the button hook. Now you're going to button hook back. You don't have a lot of guys going to the net. And when you do, either your point shots are missing the net, or they're not getting it. You know, you're shooting. We got the guy. I'm standing in front, Speck, and I have the stick on my left side of my body. Well, the shot's coming on the right side. I can't get my stick over to the. So what's the point? And like, if you're going to shoot, and if you want to crash the net, then you got to at least put your shots in an area where they can get a stick on it, for goodness sakes. And there's just their execution and attention to detail right now just is not good.
Yeah, it is. It is exactly that, Jason. I mean, I guess you'd say their power play is good. It's the best in the league right now. But short of that, you're right. They're a team that's not. And I get it. It's early. It's 14 games in. It's a long season, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, and they're in the race, and they're not buried, and their record's better than it's been the last couple of crappy years. But, you know, it's very difficult to just sit there and watch this team and say, ah, that's okay. Ah, it'll come around. Like, it doesn't, you know, watching them, it's not a lot of fun watching them. you don't mind watching it. I want to think of a team like, there's been Flames teams the last couple of years that haven't been any good, but man, they try hard, and man, they come back, and you just leave the rink thinking, boy, those guys gave me everything they got. And I'm watching this Oilers team on a lot of nights. I'm thinking they're giving me about 60% of what they got.
Yeah. The Dallas Stars, they're pretty banged up. We're going to go to Dallas next, but no Ben. Yeah. We know that he's out, and Duchesne's out, and Roope Hintz is out. So those are some pretty key pieces. They still got, obviously, lots of other good players. Their back end's good, but no Jake Oettinger tonight. And, you know, it's the Oilers on the second half of a back-to-back. Like, there should be a little bit of emotion in this game, considering if I'm the Dallas Stars, A, I hate the Oilers because they've knocked me out of the playoffs in the conference final, no less, 2 years in a row. And our new coach used to coach him, and everybody knows, you know what, you put up a little extra incentive to try to win those games. Like, my goodness, there should be a little energy and emotion in these games, because right now, Spec, like, there's just not a lot of, I find, emotion in many of the Oilers games.
Yeah, and I'm hearing the same thing around the league, to be honest. I'm hearing, you know, you're seeing other teams that are kind of, geez, why did my team play so flat last night? I don't know. Is the schedule too long? Is it too compact this year with the Olympic break? You know, why are teams taking, you know, if you notice, the teams that are playing the best right now are the Pittsburghs and the Montreals and the Anaheims. And, you know, there's a lot of teams that are playing pretty average that are good. So don't ask me why. I mean, we, you know, these guys get paid all year long, and they sure do charge expensive. The expensive price of tickets is the same, Jay, for the 10th home game and the 40th home game. So I think you expect a certain level of effort here. But you're right. You know what? You're watching the team play, and you're going, man, is this it? Like, this another boring game last night, frankly. It was just another boring game in St. Louis.
Yeah, there wasn't a whole bunch going on. Ike Howard, he leads the Oilers in minor penalties with five. He's taken three in the last four games. Beck's not playing a ton of minutes. And the penalties he's taken, they're not like undisciplined penalties, retaliatory penalties or anything, but they're all pretty much in the same area of the ice, on the boards. And I find he's reaching, and rather than moving his feet, it's a young player. Yeah. But I look at his minutes and I'm like, it can't come fast enough to get Janmark and Hyman healthy so I can send Howard down and let him get playing.
Yeah, he's got to play. Like, I think I would defend the young player and say it's harder to play 9 minutes a night than you think. You know, it's hard. Like, it's not easy to be an effective player for 10 minutes. You know, a guy once told me, he said, think about it. You get over the bench, you help over the boards, you're not even sweating half the time. Right?
Yeah.
You don't even have a sweat going. And everyone else does. And anyone who's played any level of any sport can tell you that until you get a bit of a sweat going, you're not at your best.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just one little thing that is a big thing. And here's a kid that's been a first-line player every place he's ever played in his life. He's a 18 to 24-minute forward every year of his life. And all of a sudden, he's a 9-minute forward. And it's hard. It's just hard. I don't criticize Ike Howard. He's in a position he's not ready for. And this, to me, Jay, frankly, I'm not blaming the Oilers. I get it. They got injuries and stuff. But this defines putting a young player in a position to fail, right? This is it. Your Edmonton fans, radio people, listeners, watch Ike Howard. He is being put in a position to fail, to lose his confidence, to take too many penalties, to not be productive. And now he's going to go down to the minors, probably, which is the best thing for him. And that's going to hurt his ego and his confidence and all those things. So this is why the minors exist, and this is why you send young players there, so they don't play 9 minutes and sit in the box and play crappy. And unfortunately for Ike Howard, he's a victim of that. Is that fair, Jay?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm not criticizing. I was pointing out the penalties are just another reason why I'm saying, hey, you know, let the guy go to the minors. He needs to play 20 minutes a night, get back to moving his feet, because he's not moving his feet on most of those plays. And that's why he's getting called for penalties. One last one, Alec Regula, who hasn't played since October 11th. That was the game against Vancouver. The Oilers won. He got rocked a few times. So he's missed 12 games. I fully expect, I know we won't know officially for another few hours, that he's going to play tonight. Like, you're not going to activate the player off of IR if he's not going to play. So I would expect that he comes in tonight. What's your expectation? I think he probably can't hurt. I think he's a better offensive player, has better puck skills than Ty Emberson.
Yeah, could be. I'm not going to say that for sure because I just haven't seen him play enough, Jay. I think, you know, I when I think of Alex Regula, I think puck skills aren't the first thing to come to mind. I think he's a big, strong defender. And for a guy his size, they say he seems to have really good puck skills. We saw him in preseason. That doesn't count much when the game starts, but the season starts. But I guess I'd ask you, so let's say Emberson comes out, that's fair. What is the roster move? I think it's got to involve Troy Stetcher.
Well, there's no There's no roster move spec. They had 22
not
guys.
Not today.
Oh, yeah.
Not today, yes. But coming up. Let's face it. They're not going with a defenseman.
No, it's Troy Stetcher.
Do you try to send Stetcher down, or do you trade him?
Well, like
I've
said about a trade, I don't see a team giving up one of their 7 draft picks to get Troy Stetcher. So, you know, unless you're trading him for futures, which doesn't make any sense, right? Now you're just you're helping a team. So, because futures for anybody out there is basically the play way of saying nothing. You're probably going to put him on waivers. A lot of it's timing wise. I don't think it's a lock that he gets claimed on waivers, to be honest.
It's not a lock. No, it's not a lock.
So,
player.
He's a depth defenseman who's got 500 NHL games experience. And I'm the Edmonton Oilers, I'd put him on waivers because in 2 weeks I could have an injury and I need him back. So that's what I'm not going to trade him away for, you know, first of all, I don't think he'll get anything. And second of all, I'd rather go through look at the league. And to me, it's kind of about timing. Okay, let's see. Okay, there's a Saturday night. Lots of teams play. There's only 3 games on Sunday. Okay, let's put him on waivers on Sunday because if team hasn't suffered any injuries on Saturday night, unlikelihood that they're going to claim the guy, right? Because the last time they lost a guy in waivers, a veteran defenseman, was Derma because Minnesota got 2 guys hurt that same night against the Oilers, funny enough. So that's how I would play it. A little bit of strategy and then hope. You can never guarantee what's happening, but that would be my idea with him.
So that's it. It's a little bit of strategy, but really it's hope. Really, you don't know if there's a GM who's got a 6th defenseman out there that he just flat out doesn't like, you know, or a guy that's had an injury that they're nursing, or, you know, there's a lot of stuff you don't know. So you're right, Jay. If you put him on waivers, you're just going to hope. And I kind of hope for Troy Stetcher that some team who needs him takes him, because I got a soft spot for him. He's a good, you know. He gives you everything he's got, man. We're here talking about players we think need to bring more. You can say what you want about Troy Stetcher. When he plays, he brings everything he's got every time. I like that about him.
Spec, we'll see what happens tonight in Dallas. We'll see if the Oilers can get to the net.
Yes.
We'll find out.